Well, welcome to Voices of Women. I have a radio show on Blog Talk Radio, and this is my first YouTube. I decided to do some YouTube videos for my show and interviewing different women in my life that are having, that I would like to talk to about what's going on in their life at the time of this, the time we're in with this COVID-19 and this coronavirus and how it's impacting all of us. So I have my good friend, Reverend Judith Laxer here today. Welcome, Judith. Judith is the founder and minister, I guess you would call you that, of Gaia's Temple in Seattle. And it's kind of a goddess worship, earth spirituality gathering that now they're doing you do it Facebook Live, right?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yes. So, Judith's been posting a lot of really good advice on Facebook and does these live in person. It's so wonderful to see it live that you're actually talking and you can go back and hear. You don't have to listen to those right when they're live.
Yeah, they're recorded and they stay on the feed. So you can always scroll back to find them, which is a really nice feature because if you miss it in real time, you can still get the goods.
Right, right. And the one yesterday, you were talking about Elizabeth Gilbert's an experience you had with her. And it was about she hates to make her bed in the morning, but then at night she realizes like, oh, she wished, you know, so to work from the perspective, because it is hard to get motivated right now for people.
It is.
I found it. I'm bitter now. And people say to have structure, to create structure. So my structure is kind of funny, you know, but I accomplish at least one thing a day, but I'm not pushing myself to, you know, it's like, I can't do like I did. I'm not in a do mode. And, but I am, if I finish one thing that day.
Right.
And,
exactly.
But one, I just wanted to share about, you know, that thing about, you know, living for the future right now, creating for the future was what came up for me. And I think it was a webinar I took, but maybe it was a meditation during it, was to bring back my radio show and talk to women about their experiences of what they're going through, what they're doing to manage this time of isolation, and how we see life going forward after this, that we see there's so many things happening. How is it going to impact us going forward? And I thought you were the perfect person to first talk to about this because you've been sharing so much wonderful information, whether it's been herbal, you know, herbal practices to help you. So let's start there.
Yeah. So, you know, I just thought that, I guess one big way that this has impacted me, and I know we're probably going to talk about a lot of different things, but it's really pushed me forward into doing these live streams, which people have been asking me to do for a long time, and to get my own YouTube channel, which I'm looking into and all that sort of stuff. But I've always been reticent to do it and nervous about doing it. And, you know, times like this, you know, that's where the expression necessity is the mother of invention. Like, we're having to just push past whatever our comfort zones are to figure out how do we stay connected, you know? And as a priestess, that's an important part of my work. So I can't just say, oh, well, you know, I'm shy of the camera, I don't want to do it. It's like, you know, you've got to. So it's really pushed me forward, which has been one of the blessings for it. And it's shown me that not only can I do this, but, you know, I don't have to have the script right in front of me, and I'm starting to trust myself to, like, speak in the moment about what it is. Anyway, so on a personal level, that's something that has really shifted for me. But, you know, just as far as what is important for me to be putting out there in the world, as, you know, as a minister and priestess of Gaia's Temple and my spiritual community, is, you know, what are the ways that we can support ourselves during these dire times and unprecedented times, like none of us, unprecedented times. Pretty much nobody is alive who was, you know, we don't have any experience with pandemics. We have no experience with this kind of thing. So we're all just grappling the best we can to cope. And so I thought it's probably a good idea every once in a while to come on with different, like, coping mechanisms. So I've done, I think, three of them now, and the first, or maybe four, but anyway, the first one was about grounding, right? Mm-hmm. So that when we start to feel like we're just, you know, crazy with our thoughts and our emotions roiling and, you know, taking us away from feeling really healthy and strong and centered, that we can take those worries and concerns and just ground them and give them back to, you know, give them back to the earth, let her compost that energy so that we are not suffering so badly. So that was the first one that I did. And then the second one that I did was on aromatics. And you can find all of these on my personal Facebook page. And I talked about aromatics because what happens, it's such a primal sense, our sense of smell. And so when you find yourself sort of spinning out in your head, like just going down the road of like difficult thoughts and worries and, oh my God, what if this and what if that and uh-oh and uh-oh and uh-oh. And the brain will just take you down that road with worry. And if you use aromatics, like smelling some lavender or rosemary or any strong scent, like, you know what it's like when you walk in and someone's just brewed coffee or they're just cooking bacon. Like, you know, whenever those delicious smells come in, you go, oh, and it kind of takes you away. It sort of interrupts what you've been thinking. So aromatics are a good way to sort of interrupt the brain from the worry stream, you know?
Oh, give us some examples of the aromatics you use.
Well, like I have a whole, I'm a pretty avid gardener and I've got a lot of, you know, dried herbs from my garden. So I like will have a big bowl of lavender buds and I'll just go, maybe I'll wash my hands in the lavender or just pick up a whole bunch and like just smell the lavender. And it just, oh, you know, it calms me. It's soothing. It takes you away. Rosemary does the same thing too. Very strong aromatic. And I've got a huge rosemary bush
in my
front yard. Just go out there, rub your hands on it, and oh my goodness, it just makes a difference. Many of us know what it's like to burn sage when we, you know, want to relieve negative energy around us. So sage is another strong aromatic. But even if you don't have these herbs, you know, one of the things I said in that little video was, you know, I bet you've got like cinnamon sticks in your pantry, right? Or clove or even nutmeg, you know, allspice. Garlic even, which some people find the smell of garlic. I mean, I love garlic. It's delicious. It's not a sweet smell, certainly, but it's a strong enough smell so that it interrupts you. It's like a disruptor. The mind stops and focuses completely on the scent when you're sniffing it. And if your mind is already going spinning out, then the scent of something strong can kind of bring you back.
Yeah, so important, and like the grounding too. I find one of the things is because there's so much fear going on and anxiety, you know, the unknown, not knowing how long we're going to be in the situation is, and I can go into fear because my husband has an immune suppression with the kidney transplant. And so we're not going to the stores and we're well stocked and we'll have people who will go, you know, it's getting on top of keeping stock of produce that we need. But I sometimes go, well, I should wear a mask, wear gloves and just go to the store and, you know, and then that fear comes in and then I realize it's not about fear. It's about love for myself, love for my husband, love for our house, that we are not bringing anything in here because he would not be able to fight it very well if we came down with this virus. And so it's really what I find is, and then when you read things, it can bring up so much fear. You know, yeah, I want to be informed on the news, but also I'm careful how much I read. You can read a headline and get the gist of it because we can overindulge in that fear.
Yes. And it's so, like a trauma response, you know, it's like the horror fascination where it's just terrible, but you can't look away.
That's right. Like, right.
And you really
have
to
die today. You know, that whole, you know, it's kind of like, whoa, wait a minute, what's going on here? And to just, what I find is grounding and centering back in love.
Yes.
Versus going into the fear, you know, can acknowledge the fear. It's real, you know, especially if you have a loved one that gets sick or whatever. And fear,
you don't want to dwell
how long we're going to be in this situation, but to come back to grounding yourself and centering in love, and it will just help all of us go through this.
Right. And even if that's something you have to do every 2 minutes, you know, because sometimes those worries, they keep popping up. You know, you can say, okay, I'm not going to worry about that. And then 10 seconds later, you find your mind has gone there again, right? That's the monkey mind thing. It just likes to run its own course. And so it's not a one and done, right? You've got to repeat that grounding over and over and over again. Whatever the coping techniques are, you know, you got to use them in an ongoing way. It's not
There's so much available on Facebook or online of seeing, participating, and people are doing music, giving away, you know, singing songs, beautiful songs, and then comedy
concerts.
Things, comedy routines, and then, and meditations to, you know, get into a meditation practice. Well, if you're not used to that, you can easily find things online or Facebook or wherever and find a meditation to listen to. and to just calm yourself and, you know, come back to yourself.
You know what I love also is happening is the creativity, like people coming on and writing alternative lyrics to popular songs about, you know, it's just to see how funny, you know, and creative we can be, which is just so crucial. And one of the memes that I remember coming by early on that I shared, because I just thought it was so perfect, is, you know, when this whole thing is over, let's remember that it was the artists that we turned to. Like when, you know, we're saying, oh, we're binge watching Netflix and, you know, movie after movie, or just listening to music nonstop. And, you know, just remember that it was the artists, which typically is the demographic and culture that we disparage, you know, unless they're celebrity. But we don't really give much value. We usually typically do not pay the artists what they're worth. And so, you know, when this whole thing is over, let's remember it was the artists that we turned to in our time of dire need, because we need, in addition to, you know, like stopping worrying and all the fear that we just talked about, you know, we need to be inspired. Also, we need some hope for the future. We need something to lift our spirits. What would our lives be like without film and books and music and paintings and, you know, so the like resurgence or this huge surge of creativity has just been such a joy to watch. And I have like literally LOL, like laughed out loud at some of the shenanigans that I'm seeing online, because, you know, you got to laugh or you're going to lose it.
Yeah. So. Yeah. And, you know, it's not about famous artists or famous musicians.
No.
It's even the just local people, not even people who are maybe musicians as a career, that are coming out and singing these songs. And
yeah, like these families who become like bands now. Like there was this British family that was singing, you know, from Phantom of the Opera, I think. Oh no, from Les Mis. And it was just hilarious.
Yeah, I saw that. Yeah. We still need it. We need to have a good laugh at these times.
Some levity. We have to balance the fears with some levity. You know, it's really important.
Yes. Well, I want to bring up, because you wrote in your newsletter, your personal newsletter, your article was on a gratitude letter to COVID-19.
Yes. So,
and I was very struck by this, because you brought up everything that is positive happening, you know, that we're connecting, like you and I are connecting on Zoom.
Yes.
Now. I have Zoom happy hours with friends during the week. And, you know, so I have several different things that I just, but, almost forcing us to look at life differently.
Totally.
At this time. And I'd love for you to share a little more of your thoughts of gratitude of what
sure.
is coming forward.
Sure. Thank you. I'd love to. So, you know, I send out a newsletter every month on the first of the month. And so the last week in March, I've been thinking, oh my goodness, what am I going to write in this newsletter? You know, like I always start it with some sort of personal story of what's going on in my life or how we can look at nature, what have you. And I just thought, oh my goodness, it's just such a tough time. What am I going to say in this newsletter? So I've been taking long walks every day up and down the hills in my neighborhood just to, you know, find a way to get out of the house and to keep myself, you know, just moving along. It's been really good and healthy. And so I'm on my walk one morning and I'm thinking about, you know, what am I going to say in this newsletter? And I said, okay, well, let me just kind of tune in and just, what am I feeling right now? And what I found was that I was feeling gratitude. And I thought, that's crazy. This is a difficult time and it's so dangerous and everybody's nervous and people are dying. And how could you be feeling gratitude? But there was the truth of that I was actually feeling gratitude. Now I recognize that I am blessed and I count my blessings every day, that I'm healthy and staying healthy, and that I have the food in the house and the roof over my head and all of those things. You know, I've been counting my blessings, which is always a practice that I do, but especially now, right? And so it just occurred to me that if I'm feeling gratitude now, because in dire times, it makes us look very closely at what's happening. We're not just going through our lives by rote, oh, it's time to do this, now I have that client over there, or, you know, the normal usual has been just totally disrupted. And so it's a very reflective time and it makes you really look. And so in really looking, I realized I was feeling, as soon as this thing happened and I found out the information about how this virus can exponentially spread, and that it was the best responsibility was to self-quarantine or self-isolate, shelter in place, and stay home. From that moment, which I think was like March 13th or something.
Yeah, same time for me. I just thought
it was like mid-March, right? And I just, so came home, everybody was canceling everything, and I felt this huge wave of relief. Like just, I mean, there was some panic, like, uh-oh, there goes my work. You know, I gotta worry about the financial part of it, which is one of those worries that goes round and round. But just like, there was a suspension a little bit of having to, well, you know, I work for myself, which I know you know what that's like, Chris. You know, the minute one thing is over, you're busy planning for the next. And I was kind of exhausted. So the first wave of this relief was that I kind of felt like I had some time and some spaciousness. And then all of the things that came out of having to shelter in place, which is these kind of deeper connections, making the effort to connect with people that you don't connect with in an ongoing way because you can always see them tomorrow or meet them for a drink on Friday. When I was reading the articles and finding about how the dolphins were swimming into the canals in Venice again because they weren't, the water was getting cleaner. I saw a report about how the carbon emissions, particularly over Asia, were just like dropping down to nothing. So the, you know, water pollution easing and air pollution easing. And I just could feel like Mother Earth was taking a big, deep breath and all the animals returning to the parks. It's like, I was just felt the gratitude for nature. And it's too bad that something like this has to happen for us to begin to think about how we can restore the earth. But sure enough, it did. And that is a positive result of this. When humans have to stay home, we stop wreaking havoc on the earth. And I'm grateful for that, because even though I miss, you know, I need a haircut soon, you know? So it's like those kind of things are kind of difficult on a personal level or, you know, convenience wise. But in the big picture, what really matters is the safety and health of our planet so our species and all the species can continue to live. And this is one way that we can disrupt this horrible trajectory that we are on. And I have great gratitude for that. So there were just like the list of different things that I, you know, listed in this thank you note. Like the more I walked and the more I thought about it, counting what I'm grateful for, it just all kind of came together in this thank you letter. So, and it's amazing how far and wide that thing has gone. You know, it's just, you know, I was blessed that Krista Gibson published it in the New Spirit Journal, the online magazine, and then people on my mailing list, my email list, you know, I heard, first of all, I heard from people I haven't heard from in sometimes over a decade and a half, you know, just thanking me for it and thanking me for expressing what they were also feeling, but couldn't or didn't articulate somehow. And so many people asking, can I share this in my community? So it's really kind of gone out. I think I, you know, like touched on a nerve of some common experience. Now that I start out the whole thing by saying that, you know, it must seem so odd for me to be thanking you. It was like, dear Corona COVID, you know, coronavirus COVID-19, I'm writing you this thank you letter and you must think I'm crazy because you're wreaking havoc and you're taking lives and causing loss. But that's not what I'm thanking you about. I'm thanking you about these things. And so I make the distinction there because, you know, there's a distinction to be made. Nobody's grateful for the loss. And at the same time, we can be grateful that this great disruption in business as usual has been a good thing.
Yes, and I know for myself, and both you and I, we do.
Yeah.
And, oh my goodness. You know, it causes you to stop and just allow yourself to be, you know, like we said before, I feel good if I accomplish one thing a day.
Yeah.
And they say it's important to have a schedule. I have a schedule, but it's kind of a funny schedule, you know.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, it doesn't have to be the schedule it used to be or the schedule that anyone else has, as long as you create some sort of a structure to hold yourself, you know, in a good way so that, you know, I mean, I think in one of those videos I said something like, you know, maybe one day in your pajamas all day, kind of like Christmas Day, you know, that's an okay thing. But, you know, not getting out of your pajamas, not getting into the shower, not emptying the garbage, you know, for a week or so, it's not healthy. And it doesn't, it's not good for the head, you know.
Yeah, and people talk, people make funny jokes of like, oh, I've been in my PJs all day, or, you know, wearing the same, you know, clothes for 5 days. I do get up and get dressed, but I don't get up very early. I kind of like, I'll relax, I'll read in bed, you know, and then get up when I want to get up and have tea and breakfast. And then I do my, the few things I want to do during the day. And then it's dinner. And then it's, you know, watching movies or whatever we want to do in the evening. But it's a I'm not pushed to, what do I have to accomplish today? You know, what do I have to accomplish this week?
The pressure is off.
The pressure yeah. Yeah. And just allowing having the time to be with yourself and to reflect, well, just what's important to you, you know? And I'd love for you to share, like, how do you see this going forward? Like, will this really change anything in our society? Because it's so, could be so natural to go back into our, business as usual, the everyday thing. And we, you know, and it's so quiet here because I'm a block from a fairly busy street. It's not a four lane, but it's, you know, so it's so nice and quiet to not hear cars. And I'm next to a schoolyard, so there's always kids playing and laughing, and it's so quiet. And, you know, will we all go back in our, and people talk about, like, when you do have to drive somewhere, like, oh my God, there's no cars, there's no traffic. Will we all hop in our cars the day that, okay, shops are open? Are we all gonna have traffic jams again?
Probably. We probably will. I think, you know, as far as moving forward and what I think might happen, I mean, none of us really know for sure, of course, what might happen. But here's a few things that I think about that. One is, like I said, I really hope that we don't go back to business as usual. I don't really think that business as usual, I think business as usual got us to this place to begin with. So why would we want to go back to that? But at the same time, because everything is so strange and different and sort of disrupted, and it's such a time of suspension now, you know, we're looking for normalcy. We're looking for things that are comforting. And typically we find comfort in things that we are familiar with, right? The unknown, while that can be an exciting adventure, is not certain. And it's often not, it's exciting, but often not comforting. And so we look for this, that's why we make our comfort foods and we go back to the same old way of, you know, doing whatever it is that, that brings us comfort. So I do think there'll be a fair amount of that. But I also think, and maybe this is me just being that, you know, hopeful, wishful, Piscean woman that I am, but I can't help but feel that this is changing us and has changed us. And I know for myself that it's really, and this was one of the things I talked about in the thank you letter, it's like, thank you for showing us what really matters. You know, like when you can't go get your haircut or your manicure or go to your specialty food store or whatever, when you can't do that and you find, like, you know what, the sweet potato in the back of the fridge makes a delicious breakfast, you know, you realize what really matters, which is just, you know, that we're blessed to have a roof over our head and food that we can eat. And, you know, so that awareness. And also because this isn't something that's happening like in a week or two, like we don't really know. The reports keep coming in. Originally, the report was that, you know, the heat would happen in the summer, the virus would go down. Then I was hearing that there might be a resurgence coming in the autumn. And, you know, and then when they look back at the pandemic in the Spanish flu in the early 1900s, 1918 was when it came. And then, you know, the wave of it ended and everybody thought, okay, phew, that's over. And then it came back with a vengeance in 1919. And that actually ended up taking the majority of lives. So we would be wise to look at history and recognize that,
right,
you know, once this curve is flattened, that doesn't necessarily mean we're in the clear. So going back to how it was, how it used to be, is foolhardy. And really looking at what really matters, which is often way less than what we think. And we are such privileged people here in America, particularly white Americans, where the white privilege is just unbelievable when you think of people who do not have nearly the resources that we do. And so for us, it's mostly like we are inconvenienced often, but not really in dire straits. So that awareness is so strong now. And also we're going to have to be living with that awareness forward in time. So it's not something we're going to recover from next week and then we just go back like nothing happened. And I think because it's going to last a little bit longer, however long that is, it has time to integrate. Like you can learn something, but until it's really integrated, it doesn't necessarily change your behaviors. But we have to sit with this for a good long time.
Right.
And I think that's going to help with the integration so that we may hopefully go forward in a different way. So for me personally, like I said, I started out by saying, you know, it's pushed me past my comfort zone to go, you know, live stream online, right? Which is something that I was nervous about doing. I think that a lot of my work might continue in that trajectory. I hope that I'll, you know, still have my one-on-one with clients and my classes, my mystery school and all that sort of stuff. But the whole digital virtual connection between people, I don't think that's going to go away. I don't think that's going to drop away. So that's one big way that things will change. But another way is, you know, like I said before, you know, that sweet potato in the back of the fridge, you know, makes a great breakfast. And one of the things that I've noticed in myself, especially because, so I'm going out once a week. I go down to my office to pick up the mail and water the plants. And then I do a grocery shopping on the way home and I come home. That's it. That's my one day and I'm wearing the mask and the gloves and the whole thing. And what I noticed is because, you know, last time they didn't have the coffee that I like. So I used to put two scoops in the cup. Now I'm just putting one, you know, making two cups at that one scoop. I'm noticing that I'm not letting one little bit of food be wasted. And I'm not a wasteful person to begin with, but you know, that top of the celery is gonna be saved and I'm making vegetable stock because I might not be able to go to the grocery store and buy vegetable stock. So I think those ways of being are gonna be very different for me in the future too. When our awareness is heightened about our blessings and how precious they are, we take extra precaution to preserve them and to utilize every little thing. I mean, there has barely been any waste at all in my household because I don't know when I'm going to go and be able to get another little clamshell full of salad greens, you know? So I think being more mindful, careful, less wasteful, recognizing how precious our lives are. These are not the things that are like right in front of our awareness when we're just going about business as usual. And I mean, we could go into the whole political thing too, which I don't think we might not want to do, but also looking at how, you know, from the top down, this has been so mismanaged. I think that's going to make a huge difference in our future too.
Yeah, that'll be interesting to see how it plays out. Yeah, I don't want to go into politics, but it is, you know, it's kind of like we're kind of wanting, well, what's changing, you know, for us now? I mean, we all have to change and adapt to this and what will be the new normal going forward. But then you look at people in the power, will the people in power, the politicians or corporations, how much will they change or will they be inclined to just go back to business as usual?
Well, I'm pretty sure that whatever is established in the larger picture is trying desperately to hang on to how it's been. But what I mean is if each one of us individually are having awarenesses and are waking up to some truths that we've been blind to just going along our little Starbucks, Netflix sort of way, you know, and all of a sudden we're like, whoa, wait a minute, you know. I think that is what that grassroots thing is all about. And I think with the individual awarenesses being so heightened, then that creates a collective change. And, you know, I wish it had already happened and I wish it was way faster, but I think we'll get there. I'm holding that possibility.
Yeah.
That our intelligence is that, you know, like we said, we're not going to go back to sleep.
That we don't. Yeah. Well, and you know, that's true about the collective consciousness, and on a grassroots level, like how I am personally impacts the people around me.
Right.
And it's hard to know the long-term effect. Bringing consciousness forward can impact voting in the future of who we yes. want as politicians. You know, so we don't know how all this will play out, and yet we each our responsibilities now is for ourselves yes. and being of conscious mind, mindful. And I think I kind of feel like, so it's been a month. I kind of feel like there's a settling in of this new normal, like there's something mm-hmm. wonderful and solid about it.
Yeah.
As long as you don't go into the fear of, and not worrying about when this is going to be over, it's actually kind of, well, and the nice thing is we're getting into summer and warmer weather.
Yes.
So like I had a friend over yesterday, I could be in my backyard and I was trying to even maintain more than 6 feet. We could sit in chairs in our backyard and talk.
Yeah.
And you know, that was kind of nice.
Yeah. Yeah, that sun coming out is really helpful. And I mean, everybody, like getting into the, those of us who have a garden, I mean, I'm planting my garden. Typically, I don't usually start to plant until Mother's Day. And I'm already like deep into my gardening because why not? You know, what else is there to do? And, you know, I'm keeping my mulch around things to keep them warm, but I'm planting earlier than I usually do. But anyway, I want to get back to something that you said about the grassroots, you know, and how that, so we take care of ourselves or the shifts are changing for us individually, but that affects those who are closest to us. And, you know, that's how the whole grassroots thing happens. Mm-hmm. I think it's really good to keep in mind and to remind ourselves that we often do not see the results of our work. That's mm-hmm. kind of where our faith comes in, that I'm doing this because I want to be part of this wave or this trajectory or this way that I want to see the world in the future. I might not see that result right here, but I have to keep that bigger picture in mind. And that was something that I talked a little bit about yesterday in that little video that I did that you were talking about with about Elizabeth Gilbert, you know, about treating my future self, you know, like doing things now for the future. Mm-hmm. And sometimes it's immediate, like I'm going to make my bed in the morning, so tonight I have a nice bed to crawl into. But sometimes it's way into the future and we might not even get to see that future, but that doesn't mean that the actions we're taking today are not crucial and important. And so on a grassroots level, what matters is the actions we're taking today and that they're in alignment with our visions and, you know, our desires. And I think the big disparity that we're seeing in the world now, or particularly in our country, is between those who are wanting what's best for all of us and those who only want to take care of themselves. Mm-hmm. But that's the big disparity. That's the big split that's happening. And so more of us who are doing whatever actions we can take and staying in alignment with what's good for the highest good of all, that's the way to go. To me, that's being on the right side of history, no matter how difficult the circumstance in the moment is, you know?
Yes, and I think, well, and I've read people saying this too, we've been preparing this for a while. I mean, you think, you know, Woman Wisdom's been around 28 years. And so it's given us it's kind of a gift to have
done
our inner work. Yeah. And then when you've done that inner work, you're then giving it to others, reaching out to help others. And what I see, I think I think what's happening too, we're seeing it. And I think this would be something to feel going forward that would remain is the kindness.
Yes.
Of that people and the sharing and not so much driven by the commercial and the make money on this and
the compassion for everyone's plight.
Yes. And have you seen any news in the last month of any war going on?
No.
And they actually asked, I think it was the UN, they asked like, okay, put the wars aside because every country's got to deal with this. And so that has a feeling of quiet on our planet.
Yes, you can feel it energetically. And that was another thing that I said in the thank you letter, you know, thank you for sweeping across the entire globe, which seems crazy. Why would we be grateful for something like that? But I am feeling grateful for that because it has stopped the machine.
Yeah.
Let's just keep going and going and going. And it had to, you know, it's very easy when you hear about some hardship that's happened someplace else to say, oh, those poor people, or, you know, here's, let me throw some money at it and the support for that, which is a good thing. I'm not putting that down. But then we just go back to business as usual because it's not right here in our face and we're not dealing with it. But the fact that it's everywhere is this huge global collective wake-up call. And as hard as it is, I'm grateful for that. And when I was talking earlier about, you know, feeling this sense of relief, well, I felt relief because there was some ease in my calendar, like, ooh, I get a break. Wow, how about that? But there was after I felt that, there was another wave of relief that came up. And it was this, that I felt, like many of us, for the longest time, that something was coming, like something big was coming, right? Because we know this, it hasn't been sustainable. And we're watching the floods and the fires and the hurricanes and the cyclones and the earthquakes. I mean, we're seeing it. So we know something's been coming. And as horrible as it is, there is a relief in knowing, oh, this is it. Here it is. This is it. So, you know, just knowing what it is, now we know, we're not like constantly looking over our shoulder with dread, like what's coming after us. You know, this is it. And this is not the only thing that's happening, but this is certainly something that's affecting every single one of us on the planet right now, regardless of our race and creed and religion and government and ideology. Everybody's affected by this. And knowing that, now the task becomes, how do we manage this? Like, you know, the medicines, the vaccines, like whatever it is that we can, that's where the focus is going toward. And so even though we don't have those answers yet, there is kind of a relief to know, okay, this is the situation. And now we know what we have to tend to instead of where is it going to come from? You know, how do you prepare for what you don't know?
Yes. And we weren't, I mean, it's showing how unprepared we were, but there's an urgency. So the collaboration between countries, like scientists and medical people that are collaborating, that are from different countries, and said, you know, just the US people work on this, just the Germans work on this, and
right,
and we got to wait for the FDA to approve what the Germans did. And, you know, right, that's kind of because of the urgency that's being thrown out a little bit. And it, you know, because there is such an urgency. And so it's creating a more collaborative effort.
Yes.
And we're being hit pretty hard in the U.S. It's kind of, the greatest country in the world. And I say, you know, I really say that tongue in cheek because I think every country is great. But, you know, that we have the most people, 400,000 hours, and I forget the numbers today, that have come down with the illness. And we're
barely tested in this country.
Yeah. And a high number of deaths. I mean, it's not quite like Italy now, but, you know, the fact that we've got more people have come down with this virus, than anywhere else. It's quite interesting where before, you know, it's always, you know, somewhere else, you know, we haven't had it, you know, it's just, to me, it just strikes me as interesting, like, in a way, not that you want this, but did we need this? Maybe we needed this to shake us up.
Yeah, I think it's a big wake up call. I do. I really do.
Yeah, so our wishes, everybody, is managing their life well, is grounded, is stable, that people who are, I mean, a lot of people have lost their jobs right now, whether you're a waitress or I'm thinking of people who are massage people or physical therapists who maybe can't see their clients, and just the impact financially on a lot of people, that you know, everybody gets the recovery they need from that, and everybody recovers from the illness that is having more people recover than actually die from this, but still, you know, we can feel all the number of deaths. And so our wish is, you know, going forward, that everyone can be, you know, sustain and be good and kind to themselves and to others.
You know, I have another wish too, which is that everybody gets on board with the staying home thing, because there are still people who are not doing it. in this country.
Yeah.
And, you know, I think that has a lot to do with the leadership in each individual state and also what's happening from the federal government, which is big, big, you know, hands off, you're on your own sort of thing. But I think that it would be really great for everybody to decide, you know, like I, you know, in the last time I was at the grocery store, there was a woman there with her kids. Why are the kids there?
Single mother who didn't have a place to take the kids, was she shopped?
Yeah, but there must be like some, or some, there must be some something she can do mm-hmm. than bringing her kids out into the public in a pandemic. There's got to be a way. Even if it's that, you know that you and your kids or you and your friend who have kids have both been home for 2 weeks and nobody has shown symptoms. Okay, then maybe the kids, you know, I don't know, something. I realize I don't have the answers. But when I look at what's going on out there and I still see kids walking around and maybe not little kids, but, you know, this woman that I saw in the grocery store, I would say her kids were like tweens. Like 13, 14, 15.
Yeah, so.
They can be on their own. Yeah, and that's just like, it's the, you know, it's not going to happen to us. And that's my big wish, that everybody in this country decides it is their personal responsibility to flatten this thing down to nothing. And they're going to do it by staying home.
Yes, and there's some states that they don't have as many incidences of the illness. So it's not going to affect our state as much as others. Well, it's probably coming to them.
I mean, it's coming.
And so it's pretty naive to think that. And we're pretty lucky in Washington. You know, Governor Inslee has done such a good job that we did the stay at home soon and we flattened the curve, but we still have to be keep that up. Yeah. You know, I don't think like, okay, now they've extended May 4th and who knows, it could extend to the end of May, end of June. We don't know. But just the day that, okay, we can go back to work and stores can open doesn't mean it's safe for all of us to go out there. Not safe for me and my husband because the illness, you know, COVID-19 and the coronavirus is not going to be gone.
No, we have to be careful and we have to keep those precautions going as we move forward. That is for sure.
Yeah. And they talk about that resurgence in the fall again too. So it's still, it has to have a longer impact of how we go about our business and our personal lives for protecting ourselves, but protecting others too.
Yeah.
You know, it's such an unknown. I mean, and it's also unknown because people are asymptomatic and passing on, you know, the virus. And so you don't know where you go, where you might.
Right. Exactly. Which is why in an unknown, you want to err on the side of caution.
Right.
Right. I'd rather it's the whole safe, better safe than sorry sort of thing.
Yeah. Yeah.
And if it weren't so dire, then we might take some risks, but it is dire and we're seeing it. We're seeing it and it's getting closer and closer and closer. Like people that I know personally or people that I'm close to are losing people to this disease. They're dying and we're seeing it. My poor sister, her colleague died. Mm-hmm. And she went to her funeral on FaceTime, which she was grateful that she was able to be there virtually, but you know, so it's kind of, it's coming in and it's coming closer.
Yeah.
So not to like wig us all out, but just to point out that we're not making this up. This isn't a scare tactic. It's real. And we need to err on the side of caution. We really do. And then we need to do, like you said before, take the very best care of ourselves that we can, you know, to stay inspired, you know, read the book you've been wanting to read, but have never had time to do. If you have a garden, go work in the garden. What's better than putting your hands in the earth? Nothing, you know, that sort of thing. Taking care of things at home, projects and things that have been waiting for whenever that someday was that you had the time. Now's the time, you know, and not to feel the pressure to produce, but to stay in action in a healthy way, right? Because just sitting there worrying.
Yeah. We have a big basement to clear out. We've tackled one room. So I really have to. It's kind
of
hard.
Yeah, one at a time.
One at a time and or 1 hour at a time. And
right.
I kind of have to schedule it with my husband, like, okay, we're going to do this today.
That's
right. Our one thing to do today, but
that's
a great opportunity because it's, you know, we could go through the summer and go, oh, well,
yeah,
and that opportunity is gone because we've been wanting to get to this for, you know,
ever.
2 years.
ever. Yeah, that's what's happening for me in my garden and on my yard. You know, they had a couple of years ago, we had a heavy snow. Remember that heavy snow that we had? And there was this huge part of the lilac tree in the front that kind of split. And it's slowly been kind of like dying off. Anyway, it was time to do the pruning. And so we just got to the pruning. And, you know, then the wood needs to be chopped. And, you know, so there was a time in my 40s where that would have been the weekend. You know, that's just what we did. Now, it's like an hour today. Okay, I'm done, you know. But it's good. You know, you chip away at those things and it does feel good. And I think there's an innate part of us that wants to feel productive. That doesn't mean that we should produce, you know, or feel the pressure to be productive, but we do feel better when we are, you know, feeling accomplished on some level. So even the small little things, you know, another thing that's going on here is, you know, the different recipes, like being so creative and inventive with whatever's in the pantry that's been sitting there forever, you know, and that's a creative act. It's pretty satisfying.
Yeah. And I've done some things that I haven't done in years.
Like what?
Well, I made a homemade chicken pot pie I've never made.
Wow.
And I made a lemon meringue pie that I think I tackled once maybe 30 years ago, which was delicious. Wow. And then I made, my mom had a dish, it's like a, it's kind of like a spaghetti sauce, but I don't remember how she made the sauce, but I had leftover spaghetti sauce and her, and you put beans in, green beans, and you put mashed potatoes on top and broil it. I used to have that as a kid. So I made that, you know, it's kind of like, I've talked to friends who are 10 years younger than me and they're like, no, they never grew up with it. So I think it's my parents' generation that made that dish. But it is kind of fun to be creative. And I found a place, a bakery that's selling flour and sugar and stuff. And so, cause I haven't been able to get flour in the store.
Wonderful. Yeah.
So I'm going to get bread flour and I'm going to, you know, I've not made bread for probably 50 years, maybe.
I don't think I've ever made bread. I don't think I've ever made bread. So that's kind of the whole thing. I, you know, this is where we're also lucky, you know, so blessed to have, you know, the internet and, you know, be able to still stay not only connected like this, but, you know, look up different recipes and stuff. And so, you know, I took out these sausage from the freezer the other night. And we usually make them a certain way. And I'm like, I'm bored. What else can I do? So I go online and look for Ina Garten, who's like one of my favorite chefs. What does she do with this kind of sausage? And she came up with this Italian dish that was just amazing. And I happen to have the cannelloni beans in the pantry, but it also called for kale. I'm like, oh, I don't have any kale. And it's like, wait a minute. Yes, I do. My kale had wintered over in the garden. And so I went out there and I took all these baby little pieces of kale off and it just was so satisfying just to you know, pull it together that way.
Yeah.
Those kind of smaller delights, you know? They mean more.
I often look at recipes on the internet, but now it's like, what do I have and what can I make with this? Put the three ingredients on and the search and there you have it. I'm going to go back to, you know, I'm wondering too, in the back of my mind is, are we preparing for something more? Like, they talk about this virus not being as deadly as, you know, the Spanish flu, and that was type flu.
Avian flu.
It's more dangerous. If this was that flu, we'd have millions dead or something like that. I mean, they talk about that. So are we preparing for something, not to predict that, gee, that's going to happen, but, you know, who knows? There's a potential for other things to happen, and this could be,
I think
be better prepared because this is showing we're not prepared.
Right. And what's wrong with being prepared? Mm-hmm. Nothing. You know, I mean, we don't have to go into panic mode.
Yeah.
We don't have to go into panic mode about it. But I think being prepared is not a bad idea. I mean, you'd have to be living under a rock to not see that the climate is changing and that changes everything. And taking a little bit of precaution and stocking up a little bit when you can, learning some skills you didn't have before, not a bad thing.
And we have this opportunity now to do that because we are
sitting around
for a couple months. I know for me, it's a couple months. I know it's going to be April, May. I've heard an Ayurvedic doctor saying, I don't know, they're a medical person, medical person on a seminar saying, you know, May, June, and she's in touch with medical people, you know, they're saying that. And I think
too.
It's more realistic to think longer than just think, oh, just because we need to get the economy going and we need to get out of this as soon as possible, it's going to be whatever it's going to be.
And I think it's wise, actually, to think of it in longer terms, because then we can adjust to that horrible fact. And then if it turns out to be that, then we're a little bit more mentally prepared for it. And then if it turns out, oh, you know what, by mid-May, we're all good, then yahoo, it's like gravy. You know? But setting our expectations is good for the mental health, I think.
Well, it's great talking to you today, Judith. I know we've gone on a long time, more than we had planned.
We have. Thank you.
But we can do that. So stay well. And
you too, Chris. You too. And all of you who might be watching, stay healthy and well.
Yes. Yeah, stay home and keep everybody well. And we'll get through this together, as they say.
Okay. Thanks so much, Chris, for inviting me onto your first YouTube. I appreciate it.
Yes. Well, I'm glad you came. Okay. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.